Hello and welcome to Batflips and Nerds, the baseball podcast with a British twist. We're continuing our season preview podcast today, but I'm not your usual host, Tom Pringle. I'm in fact Ben Carter filling in. You may have heard me on a couple of other of our podcasts. If you haven't, don't worry, you've not really missed out on anything. But today we'll be talking about the Los Angeles Angels. We'll be continuing our slightly different preview podcasts. Obviously, there are a lot of podcasts out there doing the usual previews. We're going to have a little bit of British twist to ours. And today we're talking about the Los Angeles Angels. And joining me, I'm delighted to say, is Joe. How are you, Joe?
I'm good, thank you. Glad to be here to talk about the Angels.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Right, I guess the obvious first question is, why the Angels?
So I used to live in America. I lived in New York. I wasn't really a baseball guy, though. But I remember one day I was sat there watching SportsCenter, and it was just after Albert Pujols had joined the Angels. And they were kind of analysing the move, and they were showing some of his highlights. And I just thought, Jesus Christ, this guy's good. So basically, I had the Angels in the back of my mind. I kind of picked them as my team, but I wouldn't have called myself a baseball fan, to be honest with you. And then a few years later, I went to uni, and my housemate is a baseball fan. He's a Tampa Bay Rays fan. And I was chatting to him, and I just said, yeah, I want to get into baseball. And I had the Angels in the back of my mind, so I chose them. And I've been watching them now for the last 3 years.
Oh, very good. So you've seen some pretty good Angels teams. You mentioned Albert Pujols. Obviously, his contract not looking as great now as it did then. What has your general impression been over the 3 years? You've been excited by the team, generally let down? What do you reckon?
Well, we're always exciting. We always, you know, we always try to score runs. You know, we kind of play baseball, and Mike Scioscia's got this vision. So it's been quite a fun team. We've obviously got the best player in the game, which is always enjoyable to watch. But weirdly, it's gone downhill since I started supporting them. We kind of got progressively worse every year.
Yeah, right. Maybe you're a bad omen. I might be contacting you and asking you not to bother watching this season. Anyway, yeah, you mentioned Mike Trout. Obviously, it took us a whole 2 minutes to get onto him. It must be pretty enjoyable getting to watch him play for your team. I think 29 other teams are probably pretty envious of you there.
Yeah, I mean, last year he was kind of the only thing that kept me watching, because yeah, the rest of the guys they're all right, but they're not him. And every at bat, you know, when he's coming up, you know something's going to happen, especially when there's runners on base as well. It makes it even more exciting. And he's fun. I'm not saying I enjoy watching fielding, but like when he robs a home run, I've managed to luckily catch every home run he's robbed as an Angel. So it's always fun when he does that, but it is great to have a generational talent on my team.
Yeah, no, he is incredible to watch, and I'm lucky that my team doesn't have to face him very often. You mentioned last season there, probably not the kind of season the Angels were hoping for. What was your impression, or maybe what was your summary quickly of what happened to the Angels last season?
I think it was the result of giving out stupid contracts to people like Josh Hamilton. It meant that we didn't have any money to bring in good players. Also, Jerry DePoto as well was our old gem. He's in Seattle. He was rubbish. He butchered our farm system to sign average players, acquire average players. Didn't think about the long term, and it was quite painful. I mean, our left field platoon last year was essentially, we were just picking up career minor leaguers and hoping they'd do something in the big leagues. It didn't work out at all. So, and we were an old team as well last year as well. It didn't go well. To be fair, we had a lot of injuries. You know, three of our starting pitchers, two of them are having Tommy John surgery, Andrew Heaney and Nick Tropiano having Tommy John. So a bit of bad luck in there, but it was the result of years of mismanagement.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the injured pitchers, actually, because I was hoping to talk about them. You mentioned Andrew Heaney having Tommy John surgery, but I believe both he and Garrett Richards opted for this stem cell work on their arm. And obviously, Garrett Richards is, at the moment, he's throwing, isn't he? And he's taking part in spring training. Are you optimistic his arm's going to be able to hold up after the injury last year?
The problem is with him, I'm going to go with no, because he's had so many other injuries as well. You know, if this was his first injury, I'd kind of Heaney's not had many, so I'm kind of hopeful of him, even though this it appears to be going better with Richards. But I can't ever be hopeful. I think Richards is a great pitcher, but I'm always fearing the worst with him because of the amount of games he's missed in the last 2 years.
Yeah, it's been a real shame because he's been probably the bright spot of your rotation the last few years. And that rotation this year is looking a little questionable, it has to be said. Obviously, the loss of Jared Weaver is kind of addition by subtraction. But the rest of it is looking a little bit shaky. What are your thoughts on pitching this year?
He's done the right thing, the GM. He's brought in guys who are probably sliding out of the league, and hopefully they're going to fight hard to win those spots. We've got Jesse Chavez, John Lamb, who I'm not sure about. I think Bud Norris will win a spot just because he's always been a kind of low-end rotation guy. But it's not good on paper. But then again, I look at the Toronto Blue Jays last year. They picked up all these veterans, you know, people like Jay Happ, and they all had really good years and led them to fail. So I guess we're hoping that we can get, you know, sort of milk the last bit of production out of these guys. But I'm not that hopeful, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I think the back end rotation isn't a bad place to necessarily have, you know, stop gaps and questionable guys. And definitely when you look at it, if you move on to the lineup, there's some, obviously Mike Trout we've already mentioned, but there's some strong hitters in this lineup. You know, Albert Pujols maybe hasn't lived up to expectations, but he's still fairly productive. Do you reckon this lineup's one of the best in the division, at least, one of the best in the league? What are your thoughts?
I think it has the potential to be. We've made a lot of good budgets. I like the Cameron Maybin signing. I think he's been underrated for a while. So we've got him in the outfield now. The good thing is now we've got actual left-handed hitters. We signed Luis Valbuena from the Astros. We've got a lot of guys who can produce. And to be fair to Mike Scotia, one thing he does well, he must motivate these guys or coach them in the right way, because generally hitters come here and play really well. You know, Lionel Escobar at third base had his best year for a long time last year under Mike Scotia. So I assume that they're hoping that he can get these guys to contact him.
Yeah, you mentioned Escobar having a big year, and it was also a big rebound offensively for Simmons, who everyone knows is probably the best defensive shortstop in the majors, but last year looked like there might be signs of life in the bat too, and that would be huge for you guys, given, you know, the trade you made to get him, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. And one of the things, as soon as we signed him, I remember Mike Scotia coming out and saying the Braves were trying to use Simmons as like a clean-up hitter, in the sense that they'd expect him to come in and kind of, you know, get runners off base. But Scotia said he's never going to be that kind of guy. So we're going to use him 7, 8, 9 in the rotation. And we're just going to hope he gets on base for one of our top end guys to drive him in. So we kind of changed his mechanics, or changed the way he looked at. He changed the way he played when he came to the plate. And it worked quite well, in fairness.
Okay. And looking forward to this season, what do you expect from this team? Are you expecting a playoff spot? Is this kind of a transitional year? It's a tough division. What are you thinking?
I'm not expecting a playoff spot. I think we've got a lot of people hate on our division, but we've got a lot of well-run teams. You know, we've got the Astros, who I think the Astros are going to be good for a very long time with their young talent. You've got the Rangers as well. I expect us to go 500. I think anything below that would be very disappointing. I just want us to be fun. I want us to be enjoyable. I want a couple of these budget signings to work out so we can get them signed on for 2018. And then hopefully we can make another run in free agency. Because our owner isn't one that he gets criticised a lot, but our owner is not afraid to put his money where his mouth is. And hopefully we actually make good free agent signings next time, not Josh Hamilton.
Yeah, I think Angels fans agree with you on that one. Because a fair bit of money came off the books this year, didn't it? With the likes of CJ Wilson finally getting off your books, and Jared Weaver leaving. But you didn't do much this offseason signing-wise. You mentioned Cameron Maybin, but he wasn't particularly expensive. Do you expect them to make bigger moves, or do you think they'll be put off by the likes of Pujols and Hamilton, you know, in the coming years?
I think they looked at this free agent class and just thought, there's no guys here that are really long-term options. You know, a lot of Angels fans wanted Matt Wieters, but I think they're trying to avoid guys like that. You know, people on the down. So I essentially like what we did. We signed a lot of guys on 1 or 2 year deals, so that if they don't work out, we can just bin them. But we got a lot of cap room for the next couple of free agency classes, which look very strong.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. And you seem like you're building a team sort of that can compete hopefully this year, you know, maybe if the team catches fire, because obviously you've got Mike Trout, you know, in his peak years. It would seem a shame to waste those. Do you think that's what the GM's trying to do here, just trying to get a reasonably competitive team on paper, see what happens?
Yeah, he signed a lot of guys on 1 or 2 year deals with the hope that they become good. He's rebuilt the farm as well. It was destroyed by our last GM. He's doing the same in Seattle as well, and their fans seem to love it, but they're gonna really hate it in 2 years when their guys, people like Robinson Cano, are getting old. And they're thinking, right, let's bring up some young guys, and they realise they don't have any because they traded them for, 1 year pieces and rentals. But I like what the GM's done, and his kind of philosophy. I noticed something he's done as well. He signed a lot of draft busts to fill up AAA, so I guess he's hoping that like one or two of them. So he signed Dustin Ackley and Tony Sanchez, for example. I guess he's hoping that one of those shows something. But I like what he's done so far. He's rebuilt a system that Keith Law said was the worst he's ever seen, and Keith Law knows his stuff and he's been around for a long time. So if he says that, it must be bad.
Yeah, I think he had a bit of an unthankful job coming in. Yeah, you mentioned a terrible farm system, a team littered with, you know, those albatross contracts. Obviously, you can't complain too much when you've got Mike Trout, but like you said, he's had to work quite hard just to get the team where it is now. So in terms of the next few years, when do you see the Angels competing again? Do you think they'll spend big next winter when, you know, there's quite a few fairly big free agents hitting the market, or do you expect them to play more of a longer game and try and build a farm first before competing?
I think we are in win now mode. I think they are going to go into free agency just because when you've got Mike Trout, I know it contradicts what I said a minute ago, but you need to really at least be making the playoffs, if not, be very close like we were 2 years ago. So I don't think they're going to give out any franchise crippling contracts like we did with Hamilton, but I think we're going to go for maybe the sort of the next level free agents, the Neil Walkers, the Ben Zobrists, people like that. And I think when you've got Trout, that's kind of what you need. You don't need to go out and sign, Ian Kinsler or someone like that. You just need good players, not minor leaguers.
Yeah, you make a good point. I mean, just looking at the lineup and the rotation, you know, you do feel, you know, maybe one or two hitters, one back end starter, a couple of bullpen pieces short of a really strong team. So like you say, there's no real point going out and breaking the bank, and even with, yeah, some big names, Harper and Machado available, it probably wouldn't make sense for the Angels to give out another 8, 10 year contract, given the trouble they've had with them in the last few years. And I guess if we move on now, to some of our quick fire questions. Who is an outside player on your team who you think is not recognised for their talents?
Cole Calhoun. I think a lot of people look at the Angels, like whenever they do outfield rankings on MLB or The Ringer or wherever it is, the line I always see is the Angels is the best just because of Mike Trout. But that's disrespectful to Cole Calhoun because he's a really good player. He'd be a starter on most teams. He can play anywhere across the outfield. He's a good hitter, can hit with power, clears the bases. He doesn't get enough credit, and maybe that's probably always going to be the case because he's playing next to Mike Trout, but it's a shame. He deserves more coverage than he gets.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I've followed Cole Calhoun from a distance the last few years, but his production's just kind of gone up and up, and injuries aside, he's been, like you mentioned, probably the best player on that roster outside Mike Trout. So yeah, definitely one who maybe isn't in the vocabulary of your average baseball fan, but definitely should be. I think that's a very good call. In terms of your thoughts for this season, if you had to give a wild or a bold prediction for your team, or a certain player on the team, what would it be?
Oh, that's a couple of years ago. Albert Pujols came close to hitting 50 home runs. I think he's going to do it this year. Yeah, I've got the feeling he's going to join the 50 club. He was bad last year, Albert. Like, I'm not going to beat around the bush. He wasn't good enough last year, and he's due a big year, and I hope he gives it to us this year.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, in your defense, home runs were up across the league last year, like you say. Pujols apparently didn't get that memo. But I've always thought that there's one big year left in Pujols. 50 home runs is optimistic, but I quite like that. You definitely fulfilled the bold part of that question. I'll give you that. You weren't hedging your bets on that one. Anyway, on to a few kind of silly questions now. And we'll start off with my personal podcast favourite, having listening to them. After a night out, the whole team's out, everyone's getting a bit hungry. Who's getting the kebab in once they've left the bar of choice?
I'm going to go with Yunel Escobar. It's just the kind of thing he'd do. He's mad.
I can agree with you on that one. You know, Escobar is, in my opinion, a little bit insane, but quite good at baseball, so I guess he does have a job for it. But I could see him buying a kebab, fighting the kebab guy, fighting anyone near him, really. So, definitely, I could see him going for a kebab, if not more. On the taxi ride home, assuming Escobar has been, you know, taken into custody and is out of the question now, who is going to claim not to have any cash and not be able to stump up for that ride home?
I'm going to go with Martin Maldonado. He's our new catcher we got him from the Brewers. I've watched his interviews and he's very quiet, but I think he's got a sneaky streak in him, which is probably why we've signed him. So yeah, I'm going to go with Maldonado.
Yeah, can he kind of sit in the corner and not really speak up? Yeah, I can see that being true. He's got a cannon for an arm, to be fair. So maybe he just threatened people and refused to pay. Anyway, who is not even on the night out? Who is staying in to watch Great British Bake Off instead of popping out for a pint?
If he was still here, it'd be Jared Weaver. But he's not here anymore. So I'm going to go with Simmons. He seems quiet and just... he does his job. I could see him watching the Great British Bake Off.
Yeah, I can see that, actually. Simmons, he's very honed, you know, in his craft. Very concentrated individual. I can see him staying home and watching Great British Bake Off. I bet he loves... but he loves a little cake on the side, doesn't he? Anyway, moving on. Enough Simmons chat. Who would be most likely, in true Alan Partridge style, to drive barefoot to Dundee?
See, I think that's something Mike Trout would do. Because
really,
in his spare time, he does storm... yeah, he's a storm chaser in his spare time. And I could just see him, hears there's a storm in Scotland... I could just see him getting in a car and just driving up there barefoot, dropping everything he's doing and getting up there.
Getting up there. He's so keen to catch the storm, he'd be up there. Okay, no, I like that. I like how you attack that from a different angle. It's good thinking. Anyway, that's the silly questions over with. And we'll start to wrap up now. So can you recommend a Twitter account or a blog or a beat writer that you enjoy following, linked to the Angels?
Yeah, I think this guy's criminally underfollowed. His name's Taylor Blake Ward. He's an Angels writer, but he does draft stuff as well. He's only got 3,000 followers. He's underfollowed, but he gives good insight on the Angels. What I like about him as well, if the Angels are playing crap, he says it. You know, I don't like beat writers who, if we're losing 10 games in a row, they're like, oh, it's all okay, because, you know, it's not. We're getting destroyed. So, yeah, he says it how it is, and I enjoy following him.
Says it how it is. I like it. Okay, thanks for the lead on that one. And that wraps up our show. So thank you, Joe. Thank you very much for joining me and chatting about the Angels. This was good fun. And thanks to all our listeners for joining us for my hosting debut. I hope it wasn't too bad. Now, where can they find you on Twitter, Joe?
At Holbert Joe.
At Holbert Joe. Brilliant. I've been your host, Ben Carter. You can find me on Twitter at UK Baseball Blog. For all things baseball, and you can contact the show obviously at batflips_nerds. As I mentioned earlier, we're also on Facebook, and as Tom keeps pleading and no one seems to be listening to, please email us at batflipsnerds@gmail.com any questions. We'll be more than happy to answer. You can subscribe on iTunes and on Stitcher. Search for us, review us, make it easy for people to find us, tell your friends about us, get our logo tattooed onto you. Keep listening. So yeah, thanks very much for joining me, Joe, and thanks for listening, everyone. Goodbye.